My talkers, it's Thursday. It's a beautiful fall day right now. And you know what? We're going to brighten up a little bit more here for this last hour of the show with Lori and Julia. And we might have something to give away this hour, right?
Oh, yes, we do. All right. People are going to have to hang out with us for a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometime between now and 5:15.
Love it. Right. We got some good wild tickets sometime between now and, what, 6?
Yeah, yeah. And you got to be able to go on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So kind of exciting news for Zendaya, who we were just talking about her earlier this week when they had the premiere of Dune, and she wore this kind of futuristic structured sequin just like to die for gown.
Yes.
And she is the Council for Fashion Designers of America, basically the CFDA. They always pick a fashion award recipient every year.
All right.
It is the equivalent of getting... It's the Oscars for fashion.
Got it.
Okay. You've won an Oscar because your fashion has been so consistently amazing.
Right.
She's 25. She will get the Fashion Icon Award, making her the youngest ever recipient.
Wow.
And she really, it's happened. Like, I mean, she just takes risks. I remember, I forget what it was, but it was like a...
She won it.
The Tom
the
Ford,
Emmy.
The pink metal... breastplate with her fashion is just so incredible.
Lord, that was gorgeous. Remember
gorgeous.
That?
Yeah, but she's in Euphoria and she's been in lots of things, but she's joining a star-studded list of other Fashion Icon Award recipients. People who've won the Oscars for fashion include Lady Gaga,
yes,
Beyonce, Naomi Campbell, Rihanna, and most recently Jennifer Lopez. Because it took her a long time to get it, 25 years.
Wow. No
and
kidding.
Zendaya works with this stylist, La Roche, and they just have an amazing
connection
with, I rarely see her ever in a mess.
No, she's so lovely and beautiful and tiny. She's a hanger. Everything looks good on her.
Yes. Yeah, she is. But she's, I mean, the Met Gala, she did a Joan of Arc look. It was the 2020 Critics Award when she wore the Tom Ford breastplate.
That was so amazing.
And Gwyneth Paltrow wore the same thing on the cover of another magazine. But it didn't look, you know, the same. But anyway... So she's very excited about that. That's November 10th.
And all right.
Anya Taylor-Joy will be the face of the year. So she's a new face, the Queen's Gambit.
Yes, I know. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So we've already talked about Ozzy and Sharon getting their movie that's going to come to the big screen, and their son is producing it, Jack Osborne.
Yeah, and I like him.
Yeah, I do too. And Margaret Qualley, have you guys watched, or maybe you've seen it show up on your Netflix, that show Made?
Everyone loves that.
Everyone?
I know a ton of people are watching
really?
It. They all love it. Yep. Everyone loves it.
Oh, another show I got to worry about.
Yeah, a little dark, but people love it.
Yeah. Yep. And it's, well, right now, it's like doing very well as far as the streaming. It's taking over. Not quite to Squid Game level, but it has had very little. The word of mouth on that has been word of mouth on it. It hasn't had a lot of buzz.
Right.
She hasn't been on a bunch of things or haven't been.
Made?
Yeah, Made. And it's Margaret Qualley.
Yeah, you're right.
It has been. Andie McDowell's daughter is in it. And but yeah, people are really loving it. And the show is based on a memoir of the same name, this real life story.
Yes.
So, anyway,
it looks good, Laurie.
Yeah, and she worked with her mom on Made, and she said, you know, and that's Andie McDowell, and she's on the cover of Bizarre magazine.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got news for you, Laurie.
What?
Oh, gosh, where did it go? Where did it go? It just disappeared. Never mind.
Well, and if you'll remember in January of this year, remember when she was dating Shia LaBeouf?
Yes.
Earlier in the year.
Yes.
And we were like feeling like, oh, boy, we don't want her dating him.
Right.
And
is she still with him?
No. She broke up with him. She was dating him. They were dating for about 3 weeks when FKA Twigs began detailing in the media how Shia love bombed her, then groomed her, and then began abusing her. and he was dating her, and they broke up after a couple of months. And so Bizarre asked Margaret about this, and she said she had posted the cover on her Instagram account. It said thank you, and she said, well, it was important to me for her to know that I believe her, and it's as simple as that, and I don't want to talk any further to you, Bizarre magazine, about my love life.
Good for her.
But she just said, yeah,
it's important for me to, I like that.
And maybe she was having the same thing. She was seeing the same thing. Those, I tell you, the love bombers, that's a red flag to look out for.
Okay, that is a red flag. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I don't know if you've been seeing, there's been some tweets online about...
Tweets are always online.
Yeah.
Twins are two.
I know. Okay. So there's been things, of course, Mick Jagger's coming this weekend. Okay. Right. And so one of them, I think last night was about, you know, I'm going to be the person taking Mick Jagger around the cities. Where should I take him? Mm-hmm. And then now today, John Bream just posted 5 minutes ago from the Star Tribune, meet the homeboy and White Bear Lake alum who is Rolling Stones production manager. Problem fixer Opie, everyone calls him. Oh my God. He doesn't tell at Mick Jagger, but he tells the accountants, and then he fixed the problem. So there's going to be a good profile of Dale Skirth or something. Mm-hmm. So I just think everyone is on Mick watch. And one of the big ones that Palmer's still feels like that's a top runner for where you might see Mick, because Mick wants to go undercover and be just a regular
right.
in the city. So you're going to have to look at everyone around you, and, you know, because he's slight, Mick Jagger.
And you put on a hat.
And some.
And you've got a mask.
And a mustache.
Maybe you're going, he's not even doing that.
No, I know.
But yeah.
But I mean, so these are some of the things as you're making your weekend plans, and maybe you aren't going to the Rolling Stones like me.
Yeah, to be prowling around.
To prowl around.
Saturday.
And exactly.
Yeah.
And I just kind of love how everyone is getting so excited about the concert. We know you have been for 3 years. You've had the tickets.
Linda from Dr. Crutchfield is going. She's very excited. She's never seen the Rolling Stones.
She hasn't?
No. And
Grant, have you?
I would call.
No.
No, you haven't.
But you're not a big fan?
Not really.
Not. Not really. I would call if you were really, really wanting to go and you don't want to buy scalp tickets or be up in the nosebleeds.
Right.
Call U.S. Bank Stadium and find out do they have a box office that you can go. Because at some point, 24 hours before the concert,
tickets
are going to be turned back.
And maybe they're
Mick and the lads only have so many friends here that they know that are going to be
right.
freeloaders and ask for comp tickets.
Right. And this is what, halfway through their tour, because they've only got 13 cities or something, right?
Yeah, but they're the Rolling Stones, so they're taking it very leisurely. Like, they have a week off. They're going to be so happy. They'll have had a whole week off.
Right.
They'll be ready to jam again. And of course, they have fond memories of the Twin Cities. They've played here at least 5 or 6 times.
At least.
And, famously, Prince. So one of the cool things that I think the Stones have always done when they've gone on tour is that they try and have bands be kind of regional or to the area, be their opening act.
Yes.
Prince opened on the West Coast tours for the band in 81.
Okay.
Famously booed. Yep. People threw yep. crap at him. They didn't know who he was here. And the Twin Cities, and then maybe Milwaukee, and maybe, I don't know if Chicago, too. It was Lamont Cranston.
Oh, I forgot 81. About that.
So they have, like, they do some kind of...
Who's opening
It's Black Pumas.
Oh, I love the Black Pumas. Yeah. We love that song.
Mm-hmm.
Which I can't think of the name of it.
Mm. When was that? Was the Metrodome in 89?
Yes.
Steel okay. Wheels. Yes.
Yeah.
Steel Wheels.
And I don't know who opened.
So you asked me earlier, I did see that one, but I was young. I did see that one. Yeah. That's the one I've been to with my parents. But yes, no, that's it. So.
Yeah. So you did see them.
Yeah.
And they had the big, didn't they have the big, was that the one with the big blow up dolls?
I vaguely remember. Yeah. I was 6, so I really don't.
I should remember more. Now, I was in the 10th row.
Now, why did your parents take you to that?
Because, Julia, they are the coolest parents in the world.
Right? We had some big, I had the big headphones that covered my ears.
And they wanted him to have a good credibility for what was your first concert.
That's like Rocco.
That was my first concert. Yeah.
Grant,
you're never going to have better credibility than that.
There you go. My first one I actually remember, though, was Leonard Skinner, Target Center. Ted Nugent.
Excellent.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, my
I mean,
word.
There are people who do think that way. I want my kid to have the good. I remember how mad I was you brought your kid
to the... We don't even talk about it.
To the American Idol. And I told him,
it was Soul Patrol year.
Yeah. I said, don't. Your kid is going to, if he's going to be honest, he's going to have to say that.
And the other one
was. But he never honestly answers. He gives
the other
the
one was
one.
Black Eyed Peas for the other kid of mine.
Yeah.
And that's a good one.
That's not bad.
Oh, I'll never forget because we got tickets from work. We gave them away.
Yeah.
We were on the opposite end of the end zone at the highest row. Uh-huh. And I just was like.
Did you leave like 10 minutes after it started?
No, he went and found his friends who had great seats.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
All right. We got to go. Listen, we've got the fifth caller. We've got a pair of tickets to give away to see the Minnesota Wild versus the Anaheim Ducks on Saturday, October 27th or 23rd, and 651-641-1071. And remember, students, college night discounts are back this season, and tickets start at just $39. So find out more at wild.com/themepacks.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Good afternoon, happy Thursday.
Yeah, same to you.
Oh, we've got some daytime television gossip about The View. Okay. Surprise.
Surprise.
We always have gossip about The View. So this is concerning Meghan McCain's new memoir that she has written, where she accuses The View of having a toxic environment. Well, executives at ABC, according to sources at TMZ, are like, no, that's not the case. We weren't the toxic ones. It was you, Meghan McCain, who were the toxic one. So ABC executives are saying that the notion that Meghan McCain left The View on her own volition is wrong. And also, same for her claim that everybody except for her was oozing toxicity. Now, the source over at TMZ, who's at ABC News, said Meghan was essentially forced out of her role after an internal investigation into the environment that she describes, which TMZ was told, in fact, real, that there were issues over at The View. But it was mostly due to Meghan McCain's behavior on and off camera, not her coworkers.
Any of us who watched it, Holly, and I watch that show every day.
She does.
If you had eyes and you had ears, Meghan McCain, because she was either thin-skinned or I don't know why, but she felt very thin-skinned. She got upset every day and made things confrontational, no matter what it was. And it was, it was exhausting as a viewer, and I can't imagine how exhausting it was on the show. And yes, sometimes I can see where she might have felt ganged up or whatever, being the only conservative, but 9 times out of 10, she would be delusionally offended about, it would be like working with just someone who's a baby and acts like they're in eighth grade and they're delusional all at the same time. And they think everybody else is the problem.
Oh, it sounds exhausting.
Yeah. I believe TMZ. I really do, because I had eyes and ears and I watched it and I would be just like, what is wrong with her?
Well, right. You know, I didn't watch The View like you guys had the opportunity to, just because the hours in the day. But it seemed my perception of The View, and specifically when Meghan McCain was a panelist on The View, is that she was looking for her hot takes to go viral.
Maybe.
And now that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and that she was taking this position where she was victimizing herself.
Yes.
Because then that would become a viral hot take. Then you could make the headlines. Right. Oh, look at the panel on The View. They're ganging up against Meghan McCain, and she's the one who has to stand her ground on that. It puts her in a particular position.
Yes.
That would be advantageous to her in the end, the kind of media personality that she wants to be perceived as.
I guess. Wow, Holly, I never even thought about that.
Yeah,
you're right. I mean, you're probably 1,000% right on that one. Because, I mean, she is married to a guy who's got a very, very right-wing, radical Breitbart. And he would do an awful lot of trolling of like Anna Navarro and sometimes the other ladies under his name. And she would never really like say her husband's name.
Right.
She tried to keep that. But I mean, that whole side of the media is flame it up, set it on fire, and let's get as much noise as we can out of something that might not even be all the way true.
Exactly. And, you know, Meghan McCain has leveraged that into new jobs. She's over at the Daily Mail now. She's a columnist.
Yeah. Yeah. We knew, though, that they were not renewing her contract. I never believed she left voluntarily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you want to read Meghan McCain's new memoir, it's called Bad Republican.
You can only listen to it.
Oh, that's right. It's like it's an Audible exclusive.
It's an
you can't even read the dang
it's
thing.
An Audible. Yeah, I mean, you know, all they're worried about the book sales when they only do the Audible version.
Oh, yeah, of course. You just go over there and get some clicks for your book, so to speak. All right, well, that's happening. Something else that's been happening, in fact, for the past 7 years, is the court battle between Dr. Luke and Kesha.
Oh, 7 years.
This has just been going on so much time.
Yeah, it's been a ton of time, and we're moving towards a trial date. And today, a New York Supreme Court justice ruled that, yeah, we're going to see the receipts on Sony's end. Sony didn't want their receipts out, but the judge rejected Sony Music's concerns and ordered that various contracts, business plans, and other financial records be unsealed within days.
Finally, because they ruled in Dr. Luke.
But Sony has had so much money to fight this with lawyers. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, they have. Now, here, in case you missed it, I need a refresher. So Dr. Luke is suing Kesha after she accused him of rape. Mm-hmm. Kesha's countersuing on the basis that Dr. Luke's claims of defamation and breach of contract have no merit and are subject to a New York law designed to protect free speech from frivolous litigation. So they're both getting ready for trial, and now they'll have these Sony documents to pour over
a whole
as this
big
progresses.
Mess is going to come out because we have wondered how has the Me Too escape music, when it seems like the music business would be just as equally bad as the Hollywood business for terrible behavior and assaults and,
things
happening.
Interesting to think about the music industry in the context of Me Too. Now, this lawsuit between Dr. Luke and Kesha was filed before the Me Too movement really hit its stride.
Jeez, 7 years.
In 7 years. And, you know, you think about rock and roll. You just think about it, and that
sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's just
There's so much that I don't know how to tackle it. I mean, we have as a society, you know, R. Kelly. They made he has seen his day in court, but outside of that,
and Lady Gaga and Katy Perry have basically confirmed, you know, this Kesha story, and that this Dr. Luke was
right.
Like, you didn't want to be left alone with this guy.
Ugh. Yeah. Well, this is moving to trial.
Good.
So we will see what comes of that. Hey, let's do a little vintage gossip.
All right.
Let's do a little vintage gossip about Marilyn Monroe. Apparently, Prince Rainier, who married Grace Kelly, Marilyn Monroe was his first choice.
Really?
Oh, I love it that he's picking out of a magazine who he wants to marry, like we'd pick a bra out of a catalog.
Well, I don't know. I feel like he was desperate to burnish Monaco's reputation at that time or something.
Yeah. So according to there's a new docuseries out called Royals Keeping the Crown.
Ooh.
And Prince Rainier was about to lose his crown after World War II. You know, there was financial ruin, low tourism. Obviously, like people were not coming to Monaco during World War II. And he had no heirs, was unmarried. So it's like, oh, I got to find a wife. Who am I going to find?
How can we make this land be a fairy tale?
Yes.
Let's get an American actress. Is that basically it?
Yes. It was like, hey, let's merge with America's new royalty and court a Hollywood celebrity.
Wow.
Did he ever court Marilyn or call her or arrange a thing or?
Well, it seems that her name was quickly thrown out, you know, like a list.
Okay.
Like, okay, well, Marilyn Monroe.
Here are some possibilities.
Here are some possibilities. However, her sexy public image, people were like, maybe that's not good for your image, Prince. Why not Grace Kelly?
Who seemed like she was just the, you know, most beautiful, gorgeous, but apparently she screwed every one of her co-stars.
She totally did.
She had a hot sex life. And
unbelievable.
Yeah.
For the times.
Well, maybe that's always happened. It's just that it was never an out. You couldn't be a woman and be out loud about your sexuality that way.
Yeah. So Grace Kelly went to the 1955 Cannes Film Festival.
Is that where they met?
Well, she was invited to visit Monaco after that for a photo shoot for Paris Match magazine.
Oh, I love that.
At the Royal Palace. Yeah. Grace Kelly, man, she got around.
Yeah. And he probably, you know, he was kind of handsome and suave and debonair, and he's a king.
Yeah, and apparently Grace Kelly was already in a panic about what am I going to do in Hollywood?
Because she was 30 or almost 30.
Almost 30.
Mm-hmm.
And so wow. marry a
panic
prince.
At the disco.
Yeah, panic Jeez. At the disco.
All right, that's good, Holly. Thank you.
Thanks, Holly.
You're welcome.
All right, what's happening on the roads?
Got a few accidents. Hi, talkers. It's Thursday, October 21st, and Lori's got something for us. What is it?
She has a theory.
What's it
going to
be?
Oh, we've got so many theories today. I've just got a lollapalooza of theories for you. But I thought I'd start with this one because
okay.
this never gets old unless you're an only child, such as Grant over there. But sibling rivalry, Julia.
Yes, what about it?
Well, of course, they're common as hell when we're kids. But would you believe that it continues well into adulthood and maybe until all of you die?
I would believe it.
Yeah.
I haven't experienced it, but I would totally believe it.
Yeah. At least a poll of people found that 51% of people say they still have at least one competitive relationship with one of their siblings. They compete over everything from cars to careers to yeah. home ownership. 20% of siblings argue on a regular basis, not in any kind of a too negative way, but about the favorites. They all know who's the favorite.
If Grant, do you know who yours is?
Well, he's the favorite.
I know.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It was a joke.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, that's a thing.
I was just checking if he knew.
Yeah.
As an only child.
I'm aware, yeah.
Let's see. Other areas brothers and sisters battle about include vacation destinations, their skills as a parent. For many adults, this is nothing new. One in five say they've had a rivalry with their siblings at every major stage of their lives.
How exhausting.
Do
you feel like you have this, Lori?
You won.
Yeah, I don't know that we do as adults, but, that doesn't mean that my siblings, that there isn't someone feeling rivalry towards me.
Oh, okay.
Good point.
Right, right.
I'm one of the joys and blessings of being the oldest is that you automatically feel pretty sure of your place in your life. So you don't really, you already know that your parents' favorites in some areas.
That's not true.
You know, I'm just saying.
In all cases.
There's a confidence there.
You have a confidence. Okay.
That maybe.
Younger people vying for more love because they weren't the first grandchild.
They weren't
the first of everything.
Yeah. It never goes away.
Really?
Basically is what it says.
What percentage of people again?
Well, I mean, like I have a 51%.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. On average, siblings argue twice a month over things like politics to watch on TV. A third of people have admitted that they stopped talking to a brother or sister for a period of time over disagreement. I think the bigger the family, sometimes the more opportunity this has to come up. And for what it's worth, 25% of people believe it's competition is a healthy aspect of a sibling relationship because it helps you achieve more. You've got this other measuring stick.
I agree with you on that 100%.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, one and two still argue and compete with their brothers and sisters. Well, I mean, I do argue with my one sister.
Right.
If we were to speak. I mean, we text. It seems like a safer emotion.
Okay, for you two.
For the two of us.
Like, yeah, the mean one.
Yeah, yeah. So that seems easier because if I talk to her, I'm going to, you know.
Blow up.
Yeah, I could very well take her and, you know, we could be rolling around in a, you know, in the grass somewhere. I mean, we go right back to, you know, sixth grade.
You two do.
Oh, we were always tussling.
Yeah. That's because you're near twins. They were
close in age.
Too close in age. They for a few days have the same birthday year. You know, it's
three days.
Age. Oh. They're called mirror twins.
Yeah,
there you go.
Or Irish twins.
Irish twins. Wow.
Okay, here's another one. Now,
yes,
Grant, I think you might have just turned this age. This is a theory that, and maybe this is good because now, you know, we just will know. But for
okay,
Americans feel most stressed in their lives at the age of 36.
I just turned 37. So
37. So see, it's well, already
last
one
year was
beer
pretty
behind.
Stressful.
Was it pretty stressful for you, Hon?
Yeah, last year was very stressful. Lost my job here, got it back, and yeah. got to be with you guys. But now that we're rolling, things are a lot less stressful.
Right.
Yeah. People just.
That's so funny, Lori, because you always have had this theory when anyone turned 36, because I've known Lori forever. Julia, you're the age of all great sex symbols now. That's 36 right. is the best age. I mean, you always spread every age into this positive.
Well, because thing. It is good, because once you've reached 36 mm-hmm. and every year after that, you will just continue to get happier, more comfortable. Not to say that you won't have hard times, but you are not going to have some of the anxiousness or wonderings that you had 10 years before that, or even 5 years before
this
that.
This is the beauty of aging in general.
Yep. But 36 might be when people feel the most stress for a variety of reasons. It might be because you're in the thick of
a
career, kids, maybe. It just depends on which path you've chosen for yourself. Because you could you could be choosing the I'm an artist, or, you know, and you're doing this, you know, you're not taking the safe road of having it, you know. So anyway, money issues, of course.
Money. You got more money after 36 a little bit, usually.
That's kind of it. So anyway, so that's
a good one.
I got that from
the Journal of Wisdom.
Me don't Q. No wonder I don't use that one very much. I don't even recall reading that.
But you got it down.
I got it. I got
me don't Q. Recall reading
all those guys, the Regal Q. Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a theory that I completely can understand.
All right.
All right. Americans have hit their tipping point in the kitchen.
Oh.
One out of three people have agreed that 2020 and 2021 has dulled their love for cooking.
Yeah. Isn't that kind of interesting? Okay. So I've eaten out every night this week, which never, ever, ever happens.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, it's quite enjoyable.
Isn't it nice?
It's so nice.
Yeah.
It is so nice.
Yeah.
Expensive, but nice.
Well, people feel that my brothers are paying.
Yeah. People feel.
Good job. Well done.
Then it's your turn tonight for sure.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not paying.
So.
I've got the short arms.
So, yeah, people feel their patience in the kitchen is at an all-time low.
Grant just caught up.
T-Rex arms. Yeah. I like that.
My I'm dad always. Make you pay tonight.
No, you aren't.
Yeah,
I've been paying for so many other things you have no idea about this
Julia
week.
Wants to get this for her brothers tonight.
Okay? My dad's quote all the time when he goes out with one of his friends is, do you have tax in your pockets?
Yeah.
Because he never wants to reach for his
Lori, it's your night. You haven't been out with us.
Yeah, that's why for sure I don't have to pay.
No, it's your turn.
Okay, so yeah, people are at an all-time low. Their patience. People are. It's just not in the front of our minds. The pandemic has exhausted their love for cooking over the past year. Not that we're not confident in our skills. We're just sick of it.
It's just another decision in a day.
Yeah.
And more work. Yes. Cooking it. Then it's like you get to enjoy it for 10 minutes, but then you spend an hour cooking it and cleaning it.
And you know what is the number one thing? It is the recipe rut. Eating the same thing.
Yep, exactly.
Over and over and over.
This is why we need to take out our cookbooks and look at the pictures.
That's right, Julia.
And see what inspires us from the pictures. Grant, do you do the cooking?
Cooking was all at an all-time high at the beginning of the pandemic. People remember I made potato tot hot dish.
Well, we
I was
had
making
to cook.
Soups.
There was no Western. There was nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm. Right, but I mean, we were like kind of enjoying it. We were like, oh, we're getting back to the kitchen. And it was like, Alex, we were like, you know, we're cuddling up and we're
it was good it was good for a little bit there
yeah so people are sick of it.
Mm-hmm.
we're not alone
people are sick of bad news too. Can I just go out and say that theory?
That's a good one.
People are always sick of bad news.
But
there's never a time when it's welcome.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just take your theory and push a hole in it just say
that was from the Q magazine.
Yeah, but people never like bad news. I mean, unless you are like the odd, strange person who loves to read
or
stuff that gives you anxiety.
Or if it's against your rival sibling.
There you go.
Maybe. There you go. Maybe.
There you go. All right. Well, that is all I have for the boring theories. Yeah. Poke a hole
in
your theory.
I'm going to deflate that one and just let it go.
Yeah. I'm not going to let you sneak that in there. Are you doing people a hiccup? What, Captain Obvious?
Bad news, damn it. Bad news.
Back to the kitchen.
There we go.
We'll be right back. Well, the weekend, did you get the news? You know, it's not, he's not coming to Excel.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah.
Yep. That happened like days ago, didn't it?
I just told you yesterday.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Glad I'm that just, you're
I
here.
Want you to know.
It's Thursday time. We're almost done with the show, but don't check out quite yet. We've still got some time.
You're such a brat. No,
it was just yesterday because you were like, what? Yeah, I don't know why that didn't get, like, I thought there'd be something in the paper today because that was like a twice delayed concert.
Yeah.
I don't know. Can the weekend fill up stadiums?
No.
I'm not
That's
sure.
what I don't think so.
The party, the other underwear party that happened last night for a birthday party was Doja Cat had a birthday party. And my goodness, people were dressed like just...
let's check it out.
Yeah, check it out. Holly posted it. It's a lot of see-through.
Yep.
A lot of see-through. Little outfits happening there. And if you... Holly labeled it Carrie Smooches Mr. Big. But if you click on it, she's smooching someone who's not Mr. Big. So if you don't want a spoiler, don't click on the Carrie Bradshaw kissing Mr. Big. Because it's kind of mislabeled.
Yes, it is.
She didn't mean to mislabel it, yep. But that ain't Mr. Big.
Well, you've just given the spoiler alert. Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, honest to God, if you... Why bother doing clicking on the picture when I can just say it out loud?
But I mean, you'll see who it is.
Oh, good Lord. That's what I'm saying.
There's some outfits here. Wow, you're right.
Huh?
There are some very see-through outfits, like you said.
This is this is the new way to have a birthday party in Hollywood.
That's weird.
Come and wear your sheer stuff. Now, I would love it if there would be more guys in sheer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because Mick Jagger famously wore...
He wears a sheer shirt, a mesh shirt. Let's see some more men being mesh. Why do the women always have to be naked? Why can't a man show up at a party in a jockstrap, a nice one, with a mesh shirt?
Remember those cutoff meshes that went right?
Yes,
right,
yes,
just
yes,
for men,
yes.
And they were wearing them in the, like, yes, the 80s, yes. With some Zumba pants and showing those abs.
Oh, I love it. I love it that you had in the Zumba.
Wearing them a few years ago, let me tell you. It's only because he doesn't have the midriff of Mick Jagger.
I love that you add in the Zubas.
Well, that was
part of the look.
That was part of that whole mesh, cutoff mesh look, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So funny.
You went into a gym in the 80s.
I just think of my
that's
dad.
What you saw.
There was this time, you know, when dad just had this pair and he wore them all the time. Do you remember that fashion? You might have
like
been. You weren't around with
maybe
us.
I wasn't around, but I've seen them in a various iteration of a Zumba, but they were probably Viking ones.
And it was always. And I'm like, oh gosh, do you know they're. Yeah.
They made a comeback about 6 years ago, and my poor self was selling them at a kiosk at Eden Prairie Mall. So,
oh, bless your heart,
they came
Grant.
In every sports.
Every Grant sports team.
Color. I love it.
Yeah. I spent a lot of winters at kiosks and malls selling things.
Did you do well?
The person who owned the kiosk did well. I didn't know. And it's just money. Needed extra money, but. Those Zubas sold like crazy for a couple years. About,
yes, they did.
In early, I would say 2010 to 2011, 2012, they came back and were hitting real hard. So,
but, right.
Yeah, Zubas.
I feel like Julia was trying to find them and you couldn't find them because you wanted to get them because then they were so out of fashion that they came back in fashion and
you're
your boys wanted them.
No.
I think that was true. When they came back
When they came back for a second, I may have wanted to for a Christmas present.
Yes.
You're right. I may have wanted to.
And we couldn't find them because people were like buying them up.
That's
and
right.
We're like, oh, this is a...
Okay, so the Scream, you know, there's Hollywood Halloween costume shortages. So, Grant, you might know this. You know the Scream mask?
Oh, that was the most popular mask when I was in high school. Because that first one in 98 came out when I was in, like, 8th grade. That everybody had that mask.
Like, 6 of these in my home. But they are, like, would that be worth anything on eBay, Grant?
No. Maybe 15, 20 bucks at, like, you know, you might be
more
able to get something.
More than figuring out how to do it.
Yeah, exactly. It's not worth the time to send it out, go to the post office.
But those are in high demand again.
Because the movie, the fifth version of that movie should be our Halloween costume.
We could just be Scream. It's so easy.
One could be Drew. Remember Drew Barrymore was the first girl murdered in the first Scream?
You could be the cream sweater. Oh, she's the one who answers the phone.
Yeah.
Julia's probably never seen the movie.
I've never seen him.
Oh, really?
No. Yeah, she's babysitting. She's home alone.
No, I'm anti-horror movies. But I have.
But she wears a cream sweater and like a pair of khaki pants.
Yeah, and a little turtleneck. Yeah. What's your favorite scary movie? And they go through the whole thing. And oh man, I just watched the first Scream last weekend.
It's
actually
good.
It's really good. Really good.
Holds up.
Does it really?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not ever going to watch it.
I know, but
I think it holds up.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, you will be wondering the entire time who is doing it. Yeah. They do a great job of moving it around and making you think it's one person, but it's not. And boy, at the end, is it a nice surprise? Not a nice surprise.
It is. It's a surprise. Okay. Well, that's good.
No, Drew Barrymore in the first 3 minutes of that movie lives everybody's nightmare of being a babysitter and having
someone stalk your house. And there was one part in where she goes, well, she asked her out on a date and she goes, well, why? And he goes, well, I want to know who I'm looking at. And then that's when it was like, she's like, wait, what?
What?
And then that's when she freaked out. And
oh, yeah.
Great scene.
Yeah, great opening scene. Drew Barrymore had Alicia Silverstone on yesterday, and she told a very funny story about how she's been kicked off Bumble and Raya. She said, I'm like Sharon Stone. I get kicked off these things. People don't believe it's really me.
Okay,
that I'm impersonating somebody.
That's funny.
So yeah, Sharon Stone and I, we've both been kicked off Bumble and Raya. Nobody wants to date me.
Was she the one? Well, that's because she chewed up her kids' food and spit it in their mouth.
Oh. I don't think that's why people don't want to date her. I just think, she was just kind of maybe being extra funny. I'm sure she would have no problem getting a date, but maybe not. Who the hell knows? It's Hollywood. They might all want a 25-year-old. All the guys you're interested in. Just like
Sean Penn,
in real life.
That worked out.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Or he said he doesn't have his ring on.
No, he's sitting outside of a burger joint in Santa Monica.
It's gone now?
Yeah, but he doesn't have sunglasses, a hat, or any sunscreen, any moisturizer on at all. So.
And the smoking does not help that with him either. He's a big smoker, right?
Yeah, so many of those people smoke.
Because the moisturizer. Don't forget to moisturize.
Exactly,
Just some moisturizing.
Don't forget. That's your favorite line to me, Julia. Did you moisturize?
That's what I remember since I started working with you guys. Oh, moisturize and wash your face. So I still do it now since I started working with you guys.
Well, look at those are two really important things that you've gained from us.
Absolutely.
You're winning. All right, everyone have a fantastic night. We'll be back tomorrow.
Job done. Off you go.